My commentary on the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 2, verses 6 through 13. We left off last time where Boaz asked his foreman, "Whose woman is that?" Meaning Ruth. Whose woman is that? Who does that woman belong to? So verse 6, the foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi." So as I said in the last section, Ruth does not belong to a man. In one real sense of the word, she belonged to Naomi. That's why the foreman said, "She came back with Naomi." She is a Moabitess. She is a Gentile pagan, which we know has been converted totally to Judaism. Verse 7, she said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She went into the field and worked steadily from morning to now, except for a short rest in the shelter. It was obviously a shelter where people could take a rest in the middle of the field. Ruth asked very politely, "Please may I glean in your field?" The tone of this verse suggests the humility of Ruth being a Moabitess. She comes to a Jewish field to glean. She is not just a Moabitess, but she is a poor Moabitess convert to Judaism. She has no right to demand anything from anybody, so she humbly asks, "Please, can I glean in your field?" We need to realize that Ruth is a humble woman. Verse 8, so Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter." This phrase, two words, my daughter, should clue us in on the controversy of the book of Ruth. Is this a love story or is this something else? Boaz called Ruth his daughter, for probably at least two reasons. First of all, he is old enough to be her father. Second of all, my daughter is a term in this sense as one meaning Boaz who has respect for Ruth. Boaz, right from the beginning, saw Ruth not as a lover, but as a woman to be respected. So that's why he calls her my daughter. And you see right away, Boaz is interested in the good welfare of Ruth. He is not interested in her romantically. He is simply interested in looking after Ruth because he knows now that Ruth is that Moabitess woman who converted to Judaism, who is now looking after Naomi, one of his relatives. It's important to know when he says, "my daughter," this tells us right off the bat he is not looking or thinking about romance. "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls." Verse 9, "Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told them not to touch you, and wherever you are, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." You see right away that Boaz is taking an interest in Ruth, again, not romantically, but he wants to look after her. He has just elevated Ruth from the poor beggar to one of his own servant girls who helped in the harvesting. Boaz no longer sees Ruth as a poor pagan Moabitess. He elevates her to the status of one of his servant girls. And he says, don't go and glean from another field, but stay here. Basically saying, I'm going to look after you, Ruth. Don't worry. He tells them, the men, not to touch her. Why would he say, men, don't touch Ruth? It's pretty obvious. Back in those days, men, well, I was going to say, weren't as cultured as they are today. They could have easily taken advantage of Ruth, especially since she's not a Jewish lady. And Boaz says, you guys, don't touch Ruth. Verse 10. At that, she bowed down her face to the ground. Again, we see the humility of Ruth. She bows down, face to the ground. She, being a pagan Moabitess, even though she's a convert to Judaism, is overwhelmed with the generosity of this wealthy Boaz. You know, when you see yourself as being the humble person you should be, when you are blessed by someone of stature, that should make you feel quite humbled. And this is what took place with Ruth. She is really being humbled here. And she asks Boaz, as her face is on the ground, she exclaimed, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? See, she says, I'm a foreigner. Why have you noticed me, a foreigner, a pagan, polytheistic Gentile? Again, she is a Jewish convert, but she doesn't know that Boaz knows who she is. At this moment of time, I believe that she just thinks Boaz sees her as a pagan Moabitess. And so she's overwhelmed. Why would this Jew of such great standing elevate her into a situation that she is equal to his servant girls? Verse 11, Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. Verse 12, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. Now, Ruth knows that Boaz knows about her. She has left everything. She has forsaken everything to take care of her mother-in-law. And it's not even that, as we've seen in chapter 1, she forsook her paganism and devoted herself totally to Yahweh, the God of Israel. And for that, Boaz respects her, and therefore he has elevated her to the status of being just like one of his servant girls. Again, you see, there's no romance here. This is pure respect on Boaz's part for a righteous woman who was looking after her mother-in-law, who has forsaken all to become like a Jew. He has great respect for Ruth. He does not have any ulterior motive thinking that he could go to bed with Ruth. Now, some people do believe this. Liberals believe it. Even some evangelicals believe this is a love story. As yet, we have not seen a hint of a love story. So Boaz says, may the Lord bless you. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Now you see the word wings here. We will see it one other time later on in Ruth. But when you see the word wings, as it is applied to the God of Israel, Yahweh, it's always in the sense of coming under the wings of Yahweh for refuge, as it is in this verse. We note what Boaz really sees in Ruth here is that she not only has forsaken all to look after her mother-in-law, she has forsaken all of her paganism to come and find refuge in Yahweh. And that's really what pagans should have been doing. Israel should have been the representatives of Yahweh as they were meant to be, so that the pagans could find refuge in Yahweh. Of course, very seldom they were that. But Ruth is special. She now has found refuge in the wings of Yahweh, and Boaz respects her for it. Verse 13, may I continue to find favor in your eyes, Lord. This is Ruth speaking. Ruth calls Boaz Lord, and if you look in your Bibles, it's all small letters, L-O-R-D. It's not capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, because if you see the word Lord in capital letters in your Bible, that is because the word Lord is being translated from the Lord Yahweh. Here the word Lord is being translated from the Hebrew word Adonai. Adonai means master. Again, we see Ruth, the humble Ruth, speaking to Boaz. She is speaking to him as one who is under him, a servant of his. She calls him Lord. She calls him Master, Adonai. You see again the humility of Ruth. She said, you have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant. Again, she calls herself a servant to Boaz. Humility. Though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. She doesn't have the standing, the cultural standing of being a servant to Boaz. What she really is below a servant. But again, Boaz has elevated her to servanthood. She's now climbed up a couple notches on the ladder, and she is overwhelmed and grateful for Boaz's respect for her, to the degree that she is now considered by Boaz one of his servant girls. Ruth is one humble lady. Boaz is one righteous man. Boaz respects Ruth. Ruth is humbled in his presence. Again, to this point in the narrative, there is no love story. For further information on the Book of Ruth, you can visit my website, stevesweetman.com.